This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
No, I didn't hear anything pop. It was just an immediate, like, discomfort and pain. I'd feel it in the knee. It just didn't feel normal. It wasn't a comfortable feeling.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
It's a dominant second-half performance by the Blue Devils, and this youthful team will claim an ACC tournament championship. It'll be the 15th for Mike Krzyzewski and the 21st for the Duke program.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
And we'll see if there's three Pac-12 teams in the NCAA tournament. The regular season champs Washington lose. The Ducks are dancing. They beat the top seed by 20 to advance to the NCAA tournament as a 6 seed.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson, in with you on this Monday afternoon.
What's happening?
A lot. Actually, a lot is happening.
It was quite a busy weekend, wasn't it?
It was one of those delicate balances of enjoying the weather while also following everything.
This is the time of year where you have to go through it, obviously, as an Oregonian, but when you have to go through the winters here, it makes you appreciate the sun that much more. Like, that's the cool part about being here that you'll never quite understand as, like, a Californian or whatever, when you're just used to it. It's a given every day that the sun's going to be out. So whenever you get that first weekend of sunshine and it is just beautiful from start to finish, it is a really delicate balance. We all need to go Swigard, just put a TV out on the patio so you can try and soak up both aspects of it.
Oh, the problem with that is, there's not much of a problem because he's enjoying life.
Problem? Yeah, please tell me the problem.
What's the problem?
I'm waiting.
Can you golf?
No, you can't golf. You can't golf.
Yeah. It's not a perfect system.
That is the only issue.
You have to sacrifice. If you want to have fun in our region, in our beautiful state, you have to sacrifice. And I watched college basketball on Saturday. I watched the Blazer game Saturday night. I saw the Ducks score. Didn't need to tune into that. They won easily.
They want to watch the Ducks and Huskies on Saturday night.
I saw the beginning, and then I kind of trailed off. And then when the second half was going and Oregon was up 15 or 17, I was like, okay, they've wrapped that up. Washington's offense sucks. That's done.
Bow down, puppies.
And then Sunday, I don't know what you guys all did. I did not watch a selection show. I didn't watch 1 second of analysis about it. I went and played golf, and then I went and played basketball at a park. It was a great Sunday.
I played golf in the morning and then came back, ran all the errands. I got back in time. I didn't need to see the Big Ten or the other.
You didn't want to watch Michigan State, Wisconsin? No. That doesn't do it for it?
That was Michigan pants. State, Michigan.
Oh, Michigan State,
it
Michigan.
It was actually
apologies.
A pretty good game. The Wolverines, frankly, blew it. They had that game under control, and then Izzo got his boys to rally and get him at the end. But no, I got back in time for the selection show. But no, I took Saturday was pretty much all about the sports. I was out on the deck cleaning it off, getting everything back in position, cleaning out the Traeger. And then you had the Big 10 or Big 12 title game, then Zion and the ACC title, and then the Ducks and Huskies for the Pac-12 title.
Yeah, Big 12 title game sucked. I watched most of that.
That was a snoozer.
Kansas, can you fight, please?
Now, did they have Chuck and Kenny on the selection show this year? Did they make appearances, or were they?
No, it was Seth Davis.
Okay, that's good. So they weren't a part of it.
It was only 1 hour this year, too, because last year their ratings went in the tank with their dumb 2-hour idea.
Yeah, they took it in the shorts last week. So, no, it was Gumbel. It was Davis. I think Clark Kellogg was on it, and maybe somebody else, it was the college basketball guys.
Those guys being on that show is like me sitting here telling you, trying to break down what's going on in college hoops and what certain matchups look like.
Pump the brakes. They're doing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're going to
back
be,
on
sure.
the coverage.
Yeah, I know. But
it's
going to
be Charles Barkley at halftime of a college basketball game talking about Buffalo, who he never watched.
Here's the thing, though. When the tournament actually starts, nobody watches any studio coverage. Because you're going from game to game.
That's a good point.
Like, you're not... That first day, there are so many games on at one time. You're not... Even if your team's playing at a game, you're not just going to sit there and watch the halftime. You're going to flip over and see what's going on in one of the other games.
Just when it gets started, like the early game. There'll be like one or
maybe
two
maybe that 9 a.m. game,
But yeah, once it kicks in around 11, forget it. You're just going back and forth.
Well, and the good news for us, because we actually have a couple things to give you a heads up on. One, you can go play our 1080 The Fan Bracket Challenge, but I'm just going to warn you right now, you're going to lose. You're not probably good at picking brackets, listener, and you're going against us, so you're definitely done. Like, there's no chance you're beating us.
You probably got a good chance of beating me, but go for it.
Well, you speak for yourself there.
Yeah, you put a whole five minutes and 18 seconds into it.
5 minutes and 18, that's what it took me this year. The question becomes, which one of Sprague's three brackets is he going to submit for the 1080 The Fan Challenge?
Still deciding which one I want to go with. I'm feeling really good.
Now, you're going to be let off the hook a little bit this year because I like to give you a hard time about filling out multiple brackets, but I found out this morning that Marcus Greaves is 10 bracket guy.
Yeah, that's a little much.
Why?
But
Hold on. I can kind of defend him in this sense. Filling out brackets is fun. It is kind of like, upset?
That's
no
like
upset.
Putting,
upset? No
but
upset.
It's, not, it's like putting one chip on 18 different numbers on the roulette table.
Right.
It's like,
don't be that guy. Come
until
on.
You hit that one number and you're like, the payout was actually not that bad.
You're just covering the whole board with one chip? Let's go. Put it all on one number.
Look, I'm not trying to tell you he does that right. 10 is a bit extreme. Even for a guy that likes to do multiple brackets, I don't know. I'm out on 10 because at some point, I think past 4 or 5, your brackets all start to look the exact same. You're not going to pick Georgia State as a 14 seed to go to the Final Four.
No, that's where.
So what's the point at that point?
I get this. I get the sense that it's fun to fill out a bracket, but the part that always bothers me about multiple bracket guy, and this comes up every year, is that when you have three different chances to pick upsets,
sure,
you're going to hit a couple.
Yep.
And then multiple bracket guy will brag about picking said 14-3 or 12 seed got the win over the 5 seed. I got that one. Well, it's like, in which one of your brackets did you get it? I could go fill out 20 different brackets if I want to, and in every single one, I could pick all sorts of upsets, and I'm bound to hit on all of them. But then I can't trash talk that because I didn't actually pick it.
But if you're using one bracket of reference, then that doesn't matter.
You have to use one bracket of reference.
So I will use the 1080 fan bracket, even if I have two other brackets that are different.
Okay, I'll allow you to get away with that. Just no bragging about picking ones that don't count.
No. Yeah, I won't do that.
Okay. Unless you picked it in all three. If you were confident... Like, that 12 is beating that 5.
Somebody said ESPN lets you fill out 15?
25, actually. You 25 can fill out 25 brackets? Different brackets on their online
Well, that's because they know nobody's...
Well, they want as many submissions as they could get.
Nobody's going perfect
What's it, $1 million prize, right?
Something like that.
If you win the whole thing.
Yeah, but it's like quinzillion. Quintillion,
9 point something quintillion.
Yeah, those are the odds of getting a perfect bracket.
Quintillion? What math class did you take?
Who gives a crap? You didn't know oxygen was on the table. Calm down. Your dad was a science teacher. It's embarrassing. Because of how many different options there are, he's never going to let you live that one down.
No, that one's going to hang around.
Because of how many different options, ESPN needs to up the ante a little bit here. $1 million? You can't give us 5?
We can't go 5 here.
Can't go 10 mil?
Making all that Disney money. You're
Come
telling
on.
Me you can't up
well,
the prize pool a little bit.
If you get a perfect bracket, you should be sitting there next to Joey Brackets and Billis at some point on ESPN Game Day next season.
Does Warren Buffett still do his thing?
I don't know.
He had that gimmicky fill out a perfect bracket for $1 billion or whatever.
Something that came up, some glitch in it a year or two ago, and he shut it down.
Oh, Warren.
Somebody was on their way and they fixed the glitch.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Can't have this guy. I don't really want to give $1 billion away. So, it was a really good weekend. And we're going to have great weather today and tomorrow.
It's going to carry on through most of the week, I think, all the way until about Thursday.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday are supposed to be some showers. Not like horrible rain, but just showers. So, which is good because the Ducks play at 1:30 on Friday. So, you're going to want to be in front of a TV.
I hate to admit this, but when I got dressed this morning after the gym, I thought, should I go on the show and pronounce spring is here? I'll wait for tomorrow to do that.
You should. Spring is here.
Spring has sprung.
Spring has risen, my friends.
Have we hit 70 yet?
No, but we might the next couple of days. Yeah, I think we're 69.
If we hit 70, well, you can gronk all you want. When we hit 70, I think you can make that declaration.
I'm telling you, I think yesterday at one point it got to 70 degrees.
It felt like it.
It sure felt like it
really
out in the sun.
Warm.
You get that sun roasting on you. It could be like 54 out there. And just after the winter we went through, it feels like it's a million degrees.
I'm wearing shorts today.
I said I'm doing it.
It's going to be 65 when we get off the show. I'm ready.
Short weather, baby.
Swag, was that you, by the way, very quickly, that did a commercial a year or two ago where you said, spring has sprung?
I think that was one of my Les Schwab spots.
Spring has sprung.
That's right.
I'm wearing shorts. First time I heard that, I was like, wow, Swaggart coming out hot. Spring has sprung. All right, we got a good show today. It's loaded. We got a lot to get to. Let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We have a loaded show today with the tournament selections, the seeding of all the teams. If you filled out a bracket at 1080thefan.com yet, you need to. If you win our bracket challenge, you could win up to $2,500 worth of Encore video audio.
Encore audio video. You were really close there.
I almost
really
had close. That. I almost got through that.
Right on the edge.
I'm a professional. I want you to know that.
That's a solid prize, though.
So go to the website, 1080thefan.com, enter the brackets challenge. Again, you stand no chance because you're going to lose, because you're going against us.
But you can't win the prize, so even if you finish behind one Brandon Sprague or Jason Swigart or Andy Dirt Johnson, you still win the prize.
Nah, you got second place, you know you're always the loser, no matter what. So we got that going on, and then we're going to be at the Independent Bar and Grill off Broadway on Thursday doing our show, and then Friday not really doing a show. God bless the tourney committee.
Are you a Duck fan?
I'm not going to go that
come
far.
Come on, let's go Ducks, baby. You're a Duck fan now, aren't you?
I told you what I thought on Friday if they won the tournament, didn't I?
You did.
Well, it happened, and now you know how I feel. I don't need to say it again.
You were rooting for the Ducks all weekend. Let all the Bieber fans know Sprague's out there wearing green and yellow. He's got a green shirt on, too, by the way, today.
This is left over from St. Patrick's Day. I woke up in a cloud. Was like, what happened this weekend?
We were getting ready to call a lot of Guinness.
I had seven car bombs on Saturday.
That's not a good idea.
And we don't have time to get into this, but I will just say I went to somebody's party, and it was a party full of people I did not know.
How many are your best friends now?
I love you, man. There was one word that was said that sparked a hot political conversation that I actually did not partake in. I actually involved one of my friends.
Roped them into the combo.
And he didn't want to be, but he ended up just getting absolutely destroyed by this individual at a party.
Shoved him into the middle of the conversation.
The word reparations was brought up.
Oh, God.
And that instantly had woke political person just spark up and go in.
Sounds like a thrilling party.
I spun my way out, and then my friend really had to just take on that conversation for about an hour. And I felt
that
really
sounds
bad.
Like the worst St. Patrick's Day party I've ever heard of. I'm not going to lie to you.
I had a great time.
I'd have seven car bombs, too, at that point.
I would, too. I might have had 30 of them if that happened.
I was at number four by that point.
Yeah, Kat, give me three more. Dear Lord.
So it was an interesting weekend. But we'll get into the NCAA tournament, the Ducks winning the Pac-12 tourney. We got the Daily Ticker. The Blazers lose C.J. McCollum for an extended amount of time. We don't know exactly how long. But we have somebody that on Twitter this weekend gave us an example of one former basketball player that suffered the injury. We'll go there. We got the NFL whip around, two Oregon Ducks retiring from the National Football League on the same day.
Yeah, classic Ducks.
They weren't teammates, were they? Did they miss each other?
There might have been
1 year overlap.
Yeah, not playing on the same team. Like, you know, I think Unger might have been like a redshirt freshman or something that at the end of Nada's.
Yeah, so we got two Ducks retiring. CJL. Casey Holdall is going to join the show today at 1:30. We'll get his thoughts. I put on Facebook over the weekend, what are the Blazers without CJ? Fill in the blank variety. We'll dive into that with Casey Holdall. We've got a Philadelphia Philly who Not a big fan of Fortnite, the video game, and he let his teammates know about it. Quite enjoyable story. Loaded show on Twitter at Durden Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, at Brandon Sprague. That's what's on tap, brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. And we will start. The Oregon Ducks win the Pac-12 tourney, and they punch their ticket. The Pac-12 gets three teams in the NCAA tournament. We'll start there. You got Durden Sprague on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 1219 on The Fan. We have the NCAA tournament. We got the Daily Ticker coming up, but we'll talk a lot about the tournament here. As Oregon wins the Pac-12 title over Washington, they cruise away in the second half, win handily. And Swigard called this before the tournament. I'm just disappointed you didn't bet any money. Otherwise, you would have really looked like the genius.
That makes two of us.
And Oregon has punched their ticket. Now, how did they get rewarded? The committee in the Selection Sunday show yesterday, they gave Oregon the 12 seed against Wisconsin, the 5 seed. If they can win that game, their second game will be either K-State, who is the 4, or UC Irvine, the 13. And then assuming they even get to that point and get to the Sweet 16, you then look at Virginia, Oklahoma.
Let's go Virginia. The
perennial choker, Virginia.
The choking Cavaliers lingering in the Sweet 16.
Well, the thing that's to the Ducks' benefit of all those three teams most likely, if they get the high seed, the Kansas State and Virginia, they're so defensively focused and they play slow down types of games that the Ducks will be in it. Rather than one of the scary teams would be UC Irvine runs up and down the floor. They look to get possessions, get shots up, and go 90 miles an hour. And for a Ducks team that still at times can struggle shooting, they're streaky, that can be a problem in the NCAA tournament. So if they get teams that will be more methodical in their pace, that's to their benefit to pull upsets.
So you got three Pac-12 teams in the tourney. ASU was one of the last four in. They take on St. John's on the 20th. That's Wednesday.
Shouldn't be in. That's atrocious.
Well, they got in. If Minnesota's in, ASU should have an argument to be made. Minnesota's 9-11 in Big Ten play this year. But ASU has a play-in game as an 11 seed. Yeah. If they win that, they will take on Buffalo, the 6. And then Washington, who is really just... They're on fumes offensively. They can't do anything offensively.
Yeah, they're ugly to watch right now.
They got a 9 seed. They're going to take on Utah State, and that's one of those upset's probably the wrong one because it's 8-9, but a lot of people liking the Utah State advantage there because the way Washington's playing. So three Pac-12 teams in the tournament. Oregon wins the Pac-12 title. They are the 12 seed against Wisconsin as the 5. What are we thinking? How outraged are we by the tournament selections?
I'm outraged! Well, I actually think Oregon winning the conference tournament ended up being a big positive for the Pac-12 because Arizona State still making it in. That ended up being a 3-bid season for the Pac-12. And we kind of talked all year, there's only one team that's going to make it. It's whoever wins the conference. And it felt like for a stretch, maybe it was Washington. Arizona State still clinging to a non-conference win that happened, it feels like, 8 months ago. As one of the reasons that they were able to get in. And you know my theory on that. They're in the play-in game, so they didn't even technically make it because they're not in the official bracket yet. So we'll see if they win this week. Now it becomes, I think, pressure on all three of these teams to... Look, no, none of them are expected to go on a deep run. You got three higher seeds. But if you're able to win maybe two out of the three, ASU wins the play-in game. We'll say Washington and Oregon are able to win a game. I do think it saves a little face for the conference. And for Oregon, I don't know how upset people were about a 12 seed. I don't think they deserve much higher, even though they won the conference tournament. But all you can ask for is the matchup and the location. And I think you add those two things in for Oregon. Look, I don't know a ton about Wisconsin. I'm assuming they got a handful of white guys and they play a really boring brand of basketball.
Ethan Happ is their big name.
It feels like an okay matchup for them, and you're playing on the West Coast. Like you can't ask for much more than that for Oregon going in. And really the takeaway for me on their victory this weekend, I thought it was a really cool moment for Peyton Pritchard. You know, he's a guy who we know how much success he had in high school. He comes in as a freshman. He's a point guard on a Final Four team. And then really the program struggles a little bit. And I remember we had a conversation earlier in the season as some people talking about him not living up to the hype or, you know, not turning into the player that some people imagined that he would. And he really was the driving force. I know defensively they were great, and Wooten and some other guys stepped up, but Peyton Pritchard was the driving force for everything they did this weekend, and I thought that was a cool moment for him.
Yeah, he had a great left-handed dunk late in that game, kind of just signaling the end for Washington in that game. They were already up double digits. Here's the interesting part about that. Give Oregon all the credit in the world for winning 8 straight games. They won the Pac-12 title game. And it's a hell of a feat by Dana Altman and company. If I'm Wisconsin, I'm actually pretty pissed off today. I mean, Wisconsin, not that Wisconsin's this amazing team, but that's a top 20 team this year in college basketball.
Yeah.
They're the 5 seed, yeah. And you rewarded them by giving Oregon, I think, basically a home game for their first one.
Essentially, I mean, there's going to be a lot of Duck fans down there, I'm sure.
Why would Duck fan not show up to that? Right. If you want to drive, it's a 10-hour drive. You can fly down for probably $180 round trip.
There's a lot of Duck fans in the California Tickets. Area to begin with, too.
Absolutely, especially in the Bay Area. That is going to be, if I'm Wisconsin, look, you have to play the tourney games, and sometimes you're not going to have advantages. I'm really upset today. And I think the committee was kind of helping Oregon out in that sense of this conference isn't good. You guys struggled for a long stretch, but you're hot. You're playing well. You won the conference tournament, and that means something to the committee. So while we can't give you a better seed, we're going to give you a 12-5, but you're going to play in San Jose on the West Coast against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're scratching your back while also acknowledging you're about a 12 seed in the NCAA tournament. Right. If I'm Wisconsin, of all things to get outraged about, we could pretend to be outraged about this team or that team. When I saw that, I did think, boy, Wisconsin's got to feel like they just got slapped in the face by the committee, right?
Really? We're only a 5 seed and we got to go play a conference tournament champion?
Well, and just to tell you what Vegas thinks, Vegas doesn't see this as a 12-5. They view this, Oregon's the favorite.
Yeah.
They are the favorite right now to win that basketball game. And I think some of that has to do with, I really believe this. I think it's going to be 65-70% Oregon fan in that game.
Well, and I think the way Dane Altman has his team playing right now, it's when you go in hot, I mean, there's not a lot of teams in the history of the Pac-12 that have won 4 games in 4 days. It's a pretty select group over the years. So to win 4-4, and that was kind of one of the reasons some people, I think, liked Washington going into the game Saturday was that they had the extra day of rest. They only played, that was only going to be their 3rd game in the tournament, and it didn't matter. Washington was the team that was out of gas, and Oregon was the team with all the energy. So you get to this time of year, I think Vegas is loving the hot hand right now. And even though it's a 12-5 matchup, you got home court and a hot team. That's why Oregon's going to be favored in it.
Well, and somebody had said, you know, Wisconsin has 10 losses. To that, I would just say, simply say, how much better do you think the Big Ten is than the Pac-12?
They got better,
They got to the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament. That has to matter.
Yeah, the Big Ten is a much better basketball conference than the Pac-12. I fully acknowledge that.
So if you lose in the Big Ten, you're losing to a better team.
Right.
And that's the thing about Oregon, too. We can dive into this after the ticker because we only have one stop to make for the Daily Ticker. I picked Oregon in all three of my brackets. I'm not that confident. Like, I feel like there's this overwhelming sense of, like, this is a given that they're going to win the game. And I think that stems from being red hot, playing good basketball, being dominant in the Pac-12 title game the way that they were. But I think some people are forgetting just how bad this conference is this year. And so doing against Pac-12 teams is one thing.
Yeah.
Doing it against other conference foes is another. Again, I picked Oregon to beat Wisconsin in my brackets. I don't know what other people have, but basically people I've talked to, everybody's loving this matchup, and it feels like there's this sense of like, yeah, they're going to do it again, just like they did Oklahoma State years ago,
Baby. I think a lot of it, too, is just being uneducated on Wisconsin.
100% agree.
Duly noted. I have not watched any Wisconsin basketball this year. I do know they made the conference semis and lost to Michigan State, I believe.
Yep,
Michigan State.
Can't say I dove into a ton of Wisconsin
basketball. Didn't watch a lot of Wisconsin basketball at 9 a.m. on Saturdays on CBS. You missed those games.
They're basically Virginia. Let's play defense and score 60 points and call it good. We got the Daily Ticker. We'll dive back into this. What do you think of Oregon's matchup 12-5 against Wisconsin and San Jose? Are you surprised the Pac-12 got 3 teams in the NCAA tournament? We'll get back into that. But coming up next, the Daily Ticker, one stop to make. We'll do it next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, time for the Daily Ticker. We had 2 stops to make. One was just added on the fly there during the commercial break, so we'll make that in a few minutes. But joining us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline is Scott Agnes of The Athletic, covering the Indiana Pacers, who are in town tonight to take on the Portland Trail Blazers. Scott, thanks for taking a couple minutes with us, man. We appreciate it. The Pacers, since Oladipo went down, have been interesting. They kept winning without him, and then they've kind of come crashing down a little bit to earth without him. 4-6 in their last 10, I should say. What do we make of the Pacers, who have the sixth or seventh best record in the NBA right now?
Hey, good to be on with you. I'm digging this weather out here, by the way.
Oh, it's great. I mean,
exactly what we like after some cold temperatures back home in Indianapolis. But as far as what this Pacers team has done, for one, last season was very much about them overachieving. No one, and this even extends to the front office, which you guys would be very familiar with Kevin Pritchard and Chad Buchanan. They all believe that the team overachieved last season to get to the point where they won 48 games. And now, with 12 games left, if they just win six of them, they'll surpass the 50-win mark for the first time in 5 years. And I think the biggest thing why they've been able to do this, for the most part, is because they're not so reliant on one guy like so many teams are. I mean, this is a group that very often will have five, six, and seven guys finish in double figures. And the one guy in particular that has really stepped up for this Pacers team has been Bojan Bogdanović in the absence of Oladipo. And it's not just been his sharpshooting. That's kind of how he's been pigeonholed, right, a little bit throughout the league. But really over the last 2 years, we've seen his game evolve, him get far more comfortable, him attack the basket. You'll see that a lot. And I'll give your listeners a hint. Look for the first play. I can almost guarantee you it'll go on the right block to Bojan Bogdanović. No team ever is aware of that, which is pretty hilarious.
I mean, we haven't seen these teams match up since all the way back in October, and obviously so much has changed for both of them since then. And then for Portland this weekend, I mean, losing their number two guy in TJ McCollum, and we'll see what the long-term status is there. But you think Indiana's maybe licking their lips a little bit, knowing that Portland's coming in off of a loss, even though I know Indiana lost this weekend as well, but off of a loss and then they lose CJ McCollum, that's got to be a boost for the Pacers.
Yeah, you would think that, but I think at this point where the Pacers are at, they're so much more concerned about themselves and how they've been playing. They haven't put together a good 48-minute stretch for a couple weeks, I would argue, at this point. I mean, their last two losses on the road, at Philly, a good contender, and then at Denver, certainly a contender. They should have won those games even without Oladipo. The Pacers missed 15 free throws in Philly. They missed 11 the other night in Denver, even not playing a great basketball game. They're at their most grueling point of the season as far as their schedule goes. 8 of 11 on the road, 10 of those teams against playoff teams. So they really have to focus one game at a time. As cliche as that sounds, you really have to on a stretch like this.
Yeah. Scott Agnes, our guest, The Athletic, covers Indiana Pacer basketball. Give him a follow on Twitter. You know, you mentioned a couple guys from Portland. Indiana's kind of Portland light in a way. I mean, Wes chose
Portland.
Wes Matthews.
I call it Portland East.
Yeah, Portland East. There you go. Wes Matthews chose to sign there after he got out of the New York Knicks situation. You mentioned Pritchard. You mentioned Buchanan, and obviously Nate McMillan, the head coach. What is the future in your mind in the next couple years? I know Oladipo went out with an injury this year. He'll be back next season. And it is a roster of really good role players who play well together. What do you think the future is for Indiana? Do they go try to land a star of some sorts? What is the future there?
Well, to add on to your references, don't forget about assistant coach Bill Baino. Yeah. And, of course, Domantas Sabonis, who was here till he was about 4 or 5 years old. And the funny thing with that, guys, is in my Lyft driver to practice yesterday. I mean, obviously it's all rumor, but he's like, oh, yeah, we're really trying to get Sabonis back here. He's the hard-nosed type of player we need. So
what?
I always love that for this scutter
butt. Who are his sources?
Right?
Did you get the sources out of him? Come on.
I know. I found that hilarious and related on to Domas yesterday after practice. But I think the first thing is the Pacers have to decide who on this group do they want to lock up, because the interesting dynamic with this team, and you can kind of contrast it with the Lakers, obviously a much different market, and it's with LeBron. But like them, the Pacers have so many guys, seven of them, in fact, playing on one-year deals, on contract years, and yet they've still been able to make it work. And so that has been really impressive, I think, for the Pacers this offseason. They have to start with Bojan Bogdanović, see if they can retain his services. I mean, the way he has been playing this season is going to warrant perhaps, 15, 16, 17 million per year deal, I suspect. And then Thad Young, while he's getting older, this is the heart and soul of this team. I call him the glue guy, and I think he's really important for them to lock up. Then I think you try to use Vic and try to go get that tier two free agent. You're never going to get that tier one, but if you can get that second guy, which this past season it was so close to being JJ Redick. He said it was on the 5 yard line, in fact, is how he described it, within 5 minutes of signing with the Pacers. If you can get a guy like that, then you're positioning yourselves to be a contender in the East, which right now even if Victor was there, I still don't believe they're a true contender.
Right. You know, Scott, it'd be something interesting to follow on Twitter is City to City just giving us Lyft NBA rumors headlines that you get all the time. I haven't heard that one of getting Babis Sabas back here to Portland, but hey, there's always something City to City. Thanks so much for the time. Scott Agnes of The Athletic covering the Pacers. Enjoy the game tonight, my man, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, appreciate it. Good to be on with you.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Scott Agnes of The Athletic, and then we move on now. We were talking the Oregon Ducks. They got the 12 seed after winning the Pac-12 title against Washington. They take on the 5th-seeded Wisconsin Badgers, and joining us now is the, I'm not used to this, the color analyst of Oregon men's basketball. You know him as the voice of Oregon football. He's there with Joey Mack during the basketball season. Jerry Allen joining us on the MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Jerry, we said this before you came on, but it feels like the committee told Oregon what they thought of the Pac-12 and their season in general, but also rewarded them a bit with basically kind of a home game against Wisconsin down in San Jose. How do you feel about where they ended up?
Couldn't have been better. You know, it's like going back home because the Ducks played there and were very successful there. And I think it was a little respect for Dana Altman as a head coach. He's one day soon going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's being compared to some of the great ones. So I think his name and what Oregon has done in the past helped. I really do think it helped.
Well, and you mentioned Altman, and he's been on some great runs at Oregon. We know that, but this is one I don't know how many people saw coming. Your best player goes down earlier in the season. You suffer a couple of really heartbreaking losses, games you're blowing big leads. Now here we are, 8 straight wins. They rattle off 4 in a row at the conference tournament. Where does this rank for you in terms of coaching jobs you've seen from Altman?
Well, this is one of the better ones because I'll be honest with you, a lot of us, and I'm talking guys around the team, not necessarily coaches and team, but those who work around them, were wondering whether or not they get to 500. I mean, it was that kind of a season. No talk of NCAA tournament, but can they get to the NIT? And then Dana did what he does every year. He makes his teams better by the end of the year. He's just such a great teacher. And it took these guys longer. It took them longer to understand what the coaches wanted. Took them longer to learn how to communicate with each other and mature into the team they are. So this is one of his maybe best coaching years.
Jerry Allen joining us now talking Oregon is the 12 seed in the NCAA tournament taking on Wisconsin. If they can win that, they take on the winner of K-State and UC Irvine. I don't know what it would be for you, Jerry, but what was the moment when you maybe inside your own mind just felt this is a completely different Oregon team? They have a shot to make a run like they just made.
Well, I think it was probably that win in Washington. When they did that to a really good Washington team on senior night at Heck Ed, I thought, wow, that's a different team that we've seen. I mean, the loss at UCLA kind of snapped something, but then they turned it around. I mean, that's the point at which they matured and finally got it. And who knows, I'm not even sure Coach understands what the flip of the switch was. But I think that Washington game made me realize, you know what, when they play that way, they can play with just about anybody. The question is, can they keep playing that way? And then with each game that went by, the defense was there, the communication was there. We saw it each game. And so I realized after probably, I don't know if it was when they got through Arizona State or maybe Utah. I think the Utah game is the one that told me in that tournament that, well, okay, these guys, this is consistency. They're here. They're here to stay.
Yeah. Well, now looking at that matchup against Wisconsin, it's one thing to stay hot, you know, when you're playing every day. And that's a grind to go 4 straight days and win 4 straight games. But you're getting out there and you're staying in the flow of things. And now you got a couple of travels. You're going home. Now you're going to San Jose, getting a couple of days off. What are you expecting in that game against Wisconsin on Friday?
Well, Wisconsin very well coached, and, you know, they got great history. And dang it, this is the third time we played them on March 22nd.
Right.
You know, what's with the stars and the moon and Neptune all aligning in the same? I don't get it. They don't have the player, you know, the star guy that they had the last two times Oregon played. They're really good, obviously, but they're a beatable team. I think Oregon matches up with them really well. They're not a huge rebounding team, and Oregon's gotten to be that. The way Oregon's playing defense, I like the matchup with Wisconsin. I don't think there's anybody on that team that's going to give Oregon fits.
All right, Jerry, get you out of here on this one. How far do they go, in your opinion? How many games do you think they win in the tournament?
Well, I think they get to the Sweet 16. I really do. I'm not going to guess beyond that, but it wouldn't shock me. I mean, what they've been doing. Defense is the key. When you can play defense, you can play with a lot of teams. If your offense happens to have a good night when you're playing that D, then you're going to beat them. So I put Oregon in the Sweet 16, and I would not be shocked the way they're playing right now that they made it to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I mean, Virginia there, if you can meet them in the Sweet 16, we've seen Virginia lose to a 16 seed, so you never know. Jerry Allen, color commentator for the Oregon men's basketball team. Oregon, a 12 seed, getting ready for Wisconsin on Friday down in San Jose. Jerry, enjoy the time down there, enjoy the games, and thanks for joining us last minute.
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. Go Ducks.
There we go. Jerry Allen, color commentator for Oregon men's basketball, and Scott Agnes, Pacer beat writer, as Pacers are in town for the Blazers, and Oregon found out they are the 12 seed. Let's keep talking about the NCAA tournament. The bracket is out. Everybody just going Duke here? Are we just writing Duke into the NCAA title game?
Outraged about something, though, in the bracket. I have one piece of outrage.
Give me your fake outrage.
Let's do this.
Let's have fun with it, because this is the day where they put everybody on national TV who doesn't watch college basketball.
And they scream about stuff.
And they argue about, I can't believe they're only a four. Most of these people don't watch college hoops, okay? It is what it is. What is your fakest outrage you have about the bracket that was released? We'll dive into that and find out what's really bothering Dirt so much. And we'll talk about the tournament more next on The Fan. NFL whip around coming up at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Then we'll dive into the Blazers as they ended the road trip 2-1, and they lost to the Spurs on Saturday night. They also lost CJ McCollum to an injury that almost nobody was familiar with. It's basically a knee strain. And then Casey Holdall from FordCenter.net, Blazer beat writer, will join us at 1:30. We'll get his thoughts on who the Blazers are without CJ McCollum. But let's dive back into the NCAA tournament. Oregon, the 12 seed. You said something outraged you.
I'm very outraged about this.
Okay, I can hear it in the tone of your voice. What is it?
I'm extremely angry.
Tell me what's upsetting about the NCAA tournament bracket that almost nobody knows anything about.
I'm looking at this thing yesterday and I'm eyeballing. The only thing that I was actually paying attention to yesterday was, one, what day was Oregon playing and what time were they playing? Because I was hoping for a whole day off, but now we got a one-hour show Friday. So that was a winner-winner chicken dinner.
That's a very, very big winner-winner chicken dinner.
What I am extremely outraged about is our boy, friend of the show, Greg Herrenda, got a play-in game.
Yeah.
Our Fairleigh Dickinson Knights.
What a horrendous decision to Herrenda.
Are you kidding me? They were 20-13 this season.
You're right.
How are they a 16 seed play-in game?
Mm-hmm.
Prairie View is going down. Where the hell is Prairie View? Nobody knows anything about them. Suck at Prairie View.
They play at Prairie View.
They're not going to make it to the full tournament. And Fairleigh Dickinson, my Knights, are going to ride in and battle Gonzaga in the first round.
I believe this is the exact scenario.
Oh, here he comes.
When he was in the interview, he said, I'd love to have a play-in game, get a victory, and then get our chance at a monster, and they will get the monster in Gonzaga.
Bring it, Zags.
Yeah, Zags going down.
I was kind of bummed by that, though, because I was curious. He's the only coach we did this year on the interview slate, and I was like, I wonder where they're going to be. And so I was looking at the bracket last night, and I'm like, oh, play-in game.
Is that a shot at me?
No.
It's the only one we got this year.
Grind away, Sprague. What are you doing?
I had six of them turn us down.
All right. So, well, actually, that's good to know. Who do we need to root against then? Because we're a very petty show, and if you turn us down for an interview,
you're right.
I will root. Like, Harvard is one of those.
I still don't root for Harvard because of their coach.
The old Michigan coach. What's his name?
Tommy Amaker.
He's a coach at Harvard. He turned us down every year for an interview. Screw you, Harvard.
Okay, Prairie View was one.
Oh, that play-in game?
Yeah.
I'm buying my night shirt just in time. I will watch that game on my patio because it's going to be a nice day.
NC Central.
Oh, the coach who said, give us anybody but Duke, and then he got Duke?
Yeah. Yeah, which was so great.
Yeah, he came out. They said, hey, coach, how do you feel about your tournament chances? He said, we'll take anybody on but Duke. And the committee heard it and said, okay, here's Duke in the first round if you win your play-in game.
Yale said no.
Oh, I got Yale winning a couple of games.
Yale pulled a Harvard on us and said, no, our coach does not do interviews outside of national interviews. I said, Yale, shut up.
I might have to retract
my... The Ivy League's getting a lot of national coverage these days.
Yeah.
Shut up. Just get out of here.
Maybe they were too worried we were going to ask him about the pay-for-play scandal and getting rich kids into their school.
Belmont, we just missed the window on.
Okay.
And Liberty. Old Richie McKay. Beaver fans may remember Richie McKay from 2002.
They probably try not to.
I had a back and forth email with their person, and then they just ghosted me. Liberty.
like a hot chicken school.
I think it was a real
liberty.
It was a real come to God moment for me of like, yeah, that's where this show is. I can't get the Liberty head coach to come on.
Maybe next year we should just try for the big programs. Maybe if we swing like for the fences, Coach K will come on. We'll get Calipari on, talk about their tournament run.
So why do TV networks decide to try to pretend like they know what they're talking about with these things?
Because you have to.
You don't, though.
For TV
really
ratings,
don't.
They do. I know. It's ridiculous. I get nothing out of it.
I don't either.
But I was outraged by that. Fairleigh Dickinson got jobbed, man.
Well, they're going to beat Prairie View.
Now, this I have to warn my dear Gonzaga brethren. If Fairleigh Dickinson wins their Prairie View play-in game,
you're rooting.
I am pulling so hard for that upset of a 16-1 for two reasons. One, because Horrenda was awesome, and he was a great interview last week if you missed it. And number two, I have on good intelligence that Jason Swigart is picking Gonzaga to win the national championship. And because of that, I think it would be hilarious if they lost in the first round.
Now, I actually have the Zags losing the second game.
What, to Syracuse?
I have Cuse. Dude, don't bet against Boeheim and Cuse in the tourney. I've learned that lesson too many times. That 2-3 zone they run, it somehow always screws teams. I don't get it, but it works for them. And I know you have Gonzaga friends, but I'm sorry, Gonzaga friends.
Gonzaga friends are not going to be happy by this.
You guys got housed by St. Mary's in the title game.
That's not a good look. Now, that's another upset a lot of people are looking at, too, because they got Nova, right?
Yeah.
They got Nova in the first round?
I'm not buying into that. I got Nova winning. Sorry, Bill Gaffney.
Nova. I did see the fraudulent stat that Nova became the first team to win like the Big East tournament 4 years in a row. It's not even the Big East anymore.
Oh, yeah.
What, like four teams left in that conference?
In name only.
Right. Well, you got to go against DePaul.
I feel like
that game's going to be close. I don't know what the spread is, but Villanova, I mean, with everybody that they lost from last year.
Swag is one of those. You know that?
What? He's like St. Mary's?
No. I get St. Mary's. Like, he watched St. Mary's in person.
Sure. Yeah.
But Swag is, I know almost all of the teams in the college basketball NCAA tournament guy.
Yeah, he's research guy.
No.
He's not turning his bracket
you,
until
you
Thursday.
You always find ways to go, yeah, I think Maryland-Belmont is going to be a really good basketball game. Senior leadership, good rebounding.
We should have a fun game before Thursday with Swag. Like, maybe when it's slow Wednesday afternoon to see how many of these games he can break down. Like, go matchup by matchup in the first round. Like, Purdue, Old Dominion, you got anything?
I got nothing on that.
Okay. Well, of all the matchups that happened in the first round, we'll see. We'll do, like, an over-under on how
is
many.
Is Robbie Hummel still at Purdue?
He probably is.
He's finally doing TV.
He was there for 38 years playing college basketball.
No. Hey, teams mostly east of the Rocky Mountains that weren't on TV all the damn time. Couldn't tell you much.
But like even the big teams, like how many games did you really watch to feel like you know anything about them?
Right.
I saw two Auburn games. Do I know anything about Auburn basketball?
Right.
No.
See, I have my fun story about filling out brackets and trying to actually put the time and effort in. I had a year where I was like entering a bunch of pools and I was like, I'm going to win some money. I know a decent amount of sports. And this one, I follow college basketball somewhat closely. And I remember I took like 4 days, brackets were revealed, and I took 4 days and every single day put time and effort into looking up matchups. What are their numbers? Leading scorers. Like, how many points per game do they give up? What's their record on the road? Like, dude, I'm not kidding. I poured in to every single game and like mathematically filled out my bracket with all the research that I could possibly do. And it was one of the worst brackets I've ever filled out.
I don't do a ton of research.
And now that is my motto. Because nobody knows what the hell is going to happen. You can spend all the time you want the next 3 days looking it up. And some doucher is going to randomly fill out teams because he likes their school colors. And he's going to hit the 98th percentile.
I kind of feel bad like when I pick against people's teams that I know. Like I said, I'm taking Nova over St. Mary's. I feel like now if I sell a house, Gaffney's going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm home.
Oh, yeah.
I'm home to the 9% listing fee, you jerk. So we'll see.
Lost out on that one.
My, I think the bracket I'm going to go with is the one in my hand because I have two online ones.
Okay.
I think I'm going to roll. I'm going to go Michigan State, UNC.
See, that's the other unfortunate part is in our fill-in brackets that we both did in about, I did mine in 5:18. You were a couple of minutes later than me. We ended up with the same championship game.
You have a different winner, though.
But I have Michigan State beating UNC.
And then the Duke thing. I got Duke in the Elite Eight. I think Michigan State can beat them.
I just can't. I can't do it. Like, I would love
freshmen
to see.
Freshmen are they're hard to trust in the tournament.
Yeah, I think for the college basketball as a sport, Duke winning it all would be really cool because Zion is can't miss TV.
No, it wouldn't.
It's one of those situations when everybody is going to pick them. You want to go against the grain.
Let me give you a dream scenario for me. UNC Duke title game, UNC wins.
How good was that game Friday night, by the way?
Yeah.
That put back by Zion where he like muscled out eight dudes to hit the game winner.
That's a very weird thing to say, but sure.
Yeah, he did. He missed the layup and then he like was pushing guys out of the way.
Yeah. It was good, man. I take that matchup again in the title game. Yeah. So the brackets are out. Fill them out how you wish. Go to 1080thefan.com, fill yours out, and we will be out at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill Thursday and kind of Friday. We'll be there, but we're only doing a one-hour show because the Oregon game is at 1:30. All right, loaded second hour. Casey Holdall will join us at 1:30, but we're going to kick it off with the NFL whip around next on The Fan.